It isn't exactly an oubliette, you say, slipping the jacket from my shoulders, exposing my nakedness to the damp air. I don't intend to forget you entirely. The stone steps are chill on my bare feet, and I am grateful for your hand helping me descend. You smirk when I suggest that this is a good metaphor for our relationship, me being grateful to you for aiding my descent. And you are grateful, aren't you, silly girl? I nod vigorously enough that it is only your grip that keeps me from falling. Concentrating on reaching the bottom safely, I don't realise quite how far down I have come until I stop and look up from the ground. The entrance to the well is a small circle of light above me. You have vanished, but I can hear you moving around outside. The scrape of metal on stone precedes your reappearance as you slowly slide the grate back over the top. The padlock makes a loud clunk as you secure the bars in place. A deep chill makes me shiver, and I peer up, desperate already to see you, for you not to leave me. The stream of warm liquid hits my face, and I gasp in a mouthful before I realise what it is. I step back and you call down to me, "No, take it." And I do. Your laughter as my skin and hair are soaked through hurts me more than the piss itself. "You really are a stupid, pathetic little cunt, aren't you?" you mock. And I, of course, agree. By the time I've wiped my eyes clear enough to see the top of the well again, you have gone. Hours pass. Or I think they do. I really have no sense of time, but the sky that was bright when we came out here is darker now. I alternate between retreating into myself, self-loathing and misery and despair that you will never return, and straining to listen to every sound outside the well in hope. The sounds are all natural. I'm far enough from the road, and it is quiet enough anyway, that all I can hear is trees and animals. It is dark now. I begin to shiver. Cutting through the night stillness, the sound of tires on gravel is unmistakable. I jump up in hope and fear that you have returned. I expected to be left here until morning, but perhaps you've taken pity on me, or perhaps you have further abuse in mind. I don't know which I would prefer. In this moment, I crave any attention from you at all. Footsteps crunch, and a flashlight sweeps over the top of the well. I'm blinded when the light is angled down at me, so I can't see its bearer. But I know your laugh well enough to know that this is not you. More footsteps as others surround the opening. Murmured voices, indistinct but multiple. No one appears to be speaking to me, but gradually words give way to moans and grunting. The first spurt of cum through the bars lands on my cheek. Soon it is followed by more than I can count. I wonder how many of them are there. And then, do you know they are here? Did you plan this? But of course you did. You must have done, mustn't you? The chances of this happening otherwise are too small, aren't they? When I hear bolt cutters shear the padlock open, suddenly I'm not so sure. Surely you would have given them a key if this was part of the plan. Boots scuff the steps as one of them makes the climb down to me. I open my mouth to speak, to ask if you sent them, but before I make a sound, the man punches me hard in the stomach. I fall to the piss and cum-soaked ground at his feet. "Want to come out, little whore?" he drawls at me mockingly. I genuinely don't know how to reply, but it doesn't seem to matter. He grabs me by the hair, hauls me up the stairs and out into the woods. The contrast with my careful descent is reinforced when he throws me to the ground outside the well. Seemingly as one, the men seize hold of me, hands grasping my limbs, my tits, my neck and mouth, my cunt and ass. Panic that I will be torn to pieces rips through me as cocks begin to replace hands and all my holes are filled at once. One by one, or rather three by three, they force their way inside my body. As each comes and steps back to rest, another takes his place. One, the man who came down to get me, I think, is particularly brutal. His cock and fists and teeth are all weapons. I wonder if I will survive this. The relief that floods through me when you step out of the shadows is short-lived. You hand the man a pair of knuckle dusters, spit in my face, turn around and disappear once more. The first blows with his newly metal-clad knuckles send me to the floor. He seems annoyed and gestures for one of the others to hold me upright. Gripped by my hair and my throat, I sob uncontrollably as I feel ribs breaking beneath his fists. I pass in and out of consciousness and eventually realize he has stopped and I am being dragged by my hair across the forest floor. The men throw me down prone, bent over part of the wall of the well, the sharp stones stabbing into my already too bruised flesh. And then, as suddenly as they had arrived, they leave. The quiet returns, broken only by my occasional gasps for air. Even so, I somehow don't hear you return. The first I know that you are there is the even now sudden pain of your cock being forced into my ass. Your fingers grip my hips, your nails pinching into my skin. Each thrust rubbing my raw and battered body against the wall. Your breath quickens, and as I gasp and cry, you give a deep, satisfied grunt of pleasure. You pause for a moment, cock softening inside me, and sigh. "See," you say, "I told you I wouldn't forget you." And slowly withdraw. I hear your steps, and then your car starting and driving away, and I understand I am to make my own way home. In the gradually increasing light, I see you have left me a dress and shoes on the ground amidst the tiny blue and purple flowers, and I am so very grateful.